Good morning from your friends at Zion Lutheran Church in beautiful Silver Hill, Alabama, and welcome to our Sunday morning worship encouragement, God's Loving Kindness in the Morning. Let's begin with Martin Luther's morning prayer. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me through the night from all harm and danger. I pray that you would keep me this day from all sin and evil, that in all my thoughts and words and deeds I may serve and please you. Into your hands I commend my body and soul and all that is mine. Let your holy angels be with me, that the evil one may have no power over me. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord is in his holy temple. His throne is in heaven. The Lord is near to all who are of a humble and a contrite spirit. He hears the requests of the penitent and listens to their prayers. Let us therefore draw near with boldness to his throne of grace and confess our sins. Be gracious to me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the greatness of thy compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only, I have sinned and done what is evil in thy sight, so that thou art justified when thou dost speak, and blameless when thou dost judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, thou dost desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part thou wilt make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which thou hast broken rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Lutherans subscribe to the great confessions of faith of the early church. God has not changed, and our faith remains firm in the teachings of the Bible. That's why we often share what is called the Apostles' Creed in our weekly worship. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Well, let's pray together as we ready our hearts for today's Bible reading. Gracious Lord Jesus, thank you for coming to the earth and sharing your good news of salvation for mankind. Open your holy word to us this morning. Along with our Heavenly Father and your Holy Spirit, minister to our hearts and nurture us in your word. Amen. We have three people writing a letter. We really don't know where one came from exactly, but we do know that he was not from Israel. You see, he spoke Greek. He was part of the diaspora, those Jews that had been exiled in the past and had ended up living abroad. The diaspora had its roots long before the New Testament, in some ways starting with the deportation of Jews by the kings of Assyria and Babylonia. His name was Silvanus. If you read Luke's writings, or Silas, if you read other portions of the New Testament, he was a Roman citizen like St. Paul. Silas shared some attributes with Barnabas, another Hellenistic Jew, where Barnabas was the servant, helper, connector. Silas was the helper, facilitator. He was one of the Council of Jerusalem emissaries in AD 49 to the Gentile church in Antioch, and ended up teaming with Paul's second missionary journey. Paul and Barnabas had a falling out in Antioch, and Barnabas took John Mark with him out of Antioch, while Paul took the newly found Silas with him. Silas is the one that was beaten with Paul and imprisoned in Philippi. He was one of those in Thessalonica with Paul. He worked with Timothy in Berea, and he worked with Paul in Corinth through AD 52. He moved on from Paul's missionary group in 52 to Peter's missionary group, either in Macedonia at this time or in Rome within a year. He is the amanuensis, the one that did the transcript of 1 Peter. He was a Hellenistic Jew, and he was able to transcribe the original Peter letter into fluent Greek in AD 54. He was the one who carried Peter's first letter to the people in the northern area of the Aegean. He would have known this area because of his time in Thessalonica. One man mentioned briefly in the New Testament, but one with impact. We know that he had been an elder in the Jerusalem church. Our tradition suggests he became an early bishop in the Corinthian church. We know the Thessalonian church ultimately was instrumental in the conversion of the Slavs and Bulgars. That Thessalonian church was planted with the help of Silas, Silvanus, and it grew. We think it is still growing today under the Greek Orthodox tradition. Church planter Silvanus, Silas, is one of three sending greetings to the Thessalonian church in today's lesson. We're looking at 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 1 through 5 or so. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the Church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. What can we learn about the prayer life in the life of Christians like Paul and Silas and Timothy from this letter? Well, this. Prayer flowed from their relationship with Jesus. Let's look at their prayer focus and relationships. We find that prayer is focused on people who had a relationship with the Father and the Son. The people of Thessalonica had a special relationship with Rome. It was a free city of perhaps 200,000 people. It was the capital of Macedonia, the city Alexander the Great had named after his sister. It is still a significant city in northern Greece, second only to Athens. Thessalonica was a prosperous port on the Aegean. It was sited on the Ignatian Way, the land trade route from Dyrrachium on the Adriatic to what became Constantinople. It was important to non-Christian religious people because it lay right across from Mount Olympus, the home of the Greek gods. It was important to travelers heading to the northern frontier. The highway going north out of Thessalonica was the Roman road up to the Danube in what is now Vienna. The people of Thessalonica were a mix of Gentiles with some Jewish background. The early church was made up of Gentile converts, and they were under persecution. The focus of this letter and this lesson was not the city of 200,000 souls, but on the people that made up that small church planting there. The text says simply, "To the church of the Thessalonians and God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." So the point? These were real people in Thessalonica. Paul and Silas and Timothy met those Thessalonians and ministered to them in short, tough times, but there was a relationship that was established between them and the missionaries there, but also between them and God the Father and the Lord Jesus. Relationships are important, but the focus in this section of this letter is on prayer. Prayer is focused on people who are remembered for their spiritual work in that Thessalonian church. It's a prayer that flowed out of thankfulness for people, no exceptions. Paul writes that they give thanks to God always for them, making mention of them in their prayers. That prayer flowed out of remembering God's work in their lives, the work of faith, their labor of love, and their patience and hope in Jesus. This prayer flowed out of godly knowledge, knowledge concerning the ones loved by us, the ones loved by others, the ones loved by God, and the ones chosen by God, those elected ones. Prayer results from recognizing where and through whom God's love is flowing. These Thessalonians were loving people. Their actions were visible, palpable, feelable. The body of Christ at Thessalonica showed Jesus' love within it. They loved one another and were willing to serve one another. Paul, Silas, and Timothy saw this love, and they were motivated to pray for these loving people because they remembered the witness of their daily lives. But prayer isn't just relationships or memories. Let's look at the third point about prayer. Prayer is focused on people, people who know Jesus. The prayer we have here is the result of the gospel. The prayer we have here has substance and content and accomplishes much. There is assurance when we know Jesus. There is confidence when we know Jesus. The prayer we have here changes lives. Paul writes, "Our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake." The point is that prayer doesn't just happen. It comes from knowing Jesus, from experiencing Jesus, from seeing the word of Jesus in the life of another, from recognizing that a church grows and blossoms when Jesus is present in it and seen in it. Prayer flowed from their relationship with Jesus and the people to whom they brought him. So what's the bottom line? Should this epistle lesson make any difference to us? How should our spirit receive what the Holy Spirit wants us to have because of this lesson? Well, here it is in a nutshell. We need to be praying people. We need to see where God is working in our congregations and in people around us. We need to thank God for them. We need to intercede with God on their behalf. We need to pray for them. As we end our time together, let us join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Receive the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, please join us for worship this morning at 10 a.m. if you can. Zion Lutheran Church is a liturgical traditional Lutheran church located in Silver Hill on the corner of 4th Avenue and 7th Street. We are one block south of State Highway 104 and two blocks west of Highway 55. If you find the Silver Hill Library landmark, you are just a block away. Look for our signs. Want more information about our Lutheran Fellowship? Come to our website, www.lutheransinsilverhill.com, or give us a call at 945-5209. May God bless you in your spiritual walk this week, and don't forget to catch God's loving kindness in the morning next Sunday, same time and same place on your radio dial. Have you had the opportunity to bless a child in India or in Baldwin County? Zion Lutheran Church understands that the Holy Spirit brings people together within the body of Christ to accomplish His will. We have two mission projects that perhaps the Holy Spirit might plant on your heart. The first project relates to the Dalit children in Cherala. We used to call the Dalit people the Untouchables. Children are the hope of the Indian church in many ways, but the Dalits are out of the education loop in India. St. Paul's Lutheran Public School in Cherala, Andhra Pradesh, India, can use our help for Dalit education. The second potential project relates to you if you live north of I-10 and south of I-65 in Baldwin County. We at Zion believe that the Lord wants to establish a Lutheran fellowship in this area. If the Lord lays the needs of the Dalit children on your heart, or if you desire to be part of a Lutheran fellowship in North Baldwin, please call us at 945-5209.